This is Lorne Greene. It's a bleak autumn in 1870, especially in Dogtown, Colorado, a once thriving boomtown, now suffering the fate of a community whose fortunes rise and fall with the output of the gold and silver mines. When the ore runs out, so do the prospectors. And no one feels the impact more than the merchants who depend on the presence of free-spending miners. Fortunately for the owner of Dogtown's most prosperous saloon, he has devised a way to replace his lost revenue.
Hey, barkeep! Whiskey!
Howdy! Welcome to the Road to Ruin, stranger. Yeah, Smiley Pete's the name. I own this saloon.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't brag about it. Judging from the number of customers you got, it ain't too popular.
I don't recollect seeing you before. You a prospector?
Well, ain't everybody.
You gonna try your luck around here?
Hell no, this strike's played out. I'm going to Denver.
Denver ain't so much. What have they got that we ain't got?
Well, a railroad, for one. And better saloons. Where's my whiskey?
Jubal, bring this man a drink.
Right, boss.
A whiskey drummer come through here the other day. Left one of his samples. Wants me to switch brands, I think. So I'd be obliged if you'd just try it and tell me what you think. Yeah, on the house, of course.
Well, sure. Yeah, to Denver. Well, ain't exactly towels lightning.
Well, now, I reckon he had too much to drink before he come in.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, O'Reilly? No, O'Reilly, by Steve Sharon. Our stars, Tyler McVeigh, Dawes Butler, and Marvin Miller.
Smiley Pete has just welcomed an unsuspecting stranger to Dogtown, Colorado. After one drink of Pete's whiskey, the prospector lies unconscious on the floor of the Road to Ruin saloon.
Jubal, will you give me a hand dragging this fella into the back?
Oh, he's a heavy one, ain't he?
You made it too strong again, Jubal.
Sorry.
How many times I gotta tell you? It ain't good to have him pass out too sudden like. Makes other customers suspicious.
What other customers? The place is near empty.
Will you shut up and check his pockets?
Nothing in this one.
Well, keep looking. A man don't travel without a grubstake.
That's all.
$2? Sakes. Hardly seems worth the trouble.
What do you want me to do with him?
Drag him outside and dump him in back of the privy. And take his horse down to the livery stable. Caleb knows what to do.
Yeah, right, boss.
And don't forget to bring back the money for the horse. I tell you, Hiram, you may as well dig a real big grave and bury the whole damn town.
If only I could. Then maybe I'd finally get rid of all those caskets in my storeroom.
It won't be long before the whole place is full of nothing but ghosts, tumbleweeds, and memories.
Memories. Gunfights every Saturday night.
Yeah.
Claim jumpers shooting prospectors by the score.
Yeah.
And, of course, the odd lynching now and then. It was an undertaker's dream.
It was bad enough when the gold played out, but why'd the railroad have to go to Denver? Why couldn't they come through Dogtown instead?
If only I'd been content to use pine boxes. But no, I had to bring in the fancy caskets from St. Louis. Now every cent I've got is tied up in inventory.
Yeah, me too.
Well, at least you can drink yours.
You're doing a pretty darn good job of helping me.
Oh, that's okay. Anytime you need a coffin or a place to sleep.
I reckon if the railroad had come through here, Dogtown could have been the biggest darn city in the territory. Bigger than Denver, even. Darn railroad.
Darn railroad.
I could have had me a real saloon with glass chandeliers. One of them mirrors, you know, framed in gold. And a picture of a naked lady hanging over the door.
Hiram Plotkin's funeral and tonsorial parlor. You would have seen the most lavish funerals and the best haircuts west of the Mississippi. But now...
And now Denver's going to have it all. Oh, I hate Denver.
Me too.
You know what we got to do?
What?
Pack up and head for Denver.
After what they've done to us?
Dogtown is finished. I don't see no sense waiting around to make it official. Besides, there's plenty of room in Denver for you and me.
Aren't you forgetting something? It takes money to set up in a new town. All I've got is some empty caskets and a pack of unpaid bills. What about you?
$2. Whatever I get for a certain horse. But don't worry. I'll get us a grubstake somehow.
Yeah, top of the morning to you, jubilant lad. Ah, it is a fine, beautiful day, is it not?
It's cold out, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah, frightful cold, frightful cold. I was just thinking what a horrible day it is. And on a day like this, a man could certainly do with a wee bit of something to warm him up, if you get my meaning.
I get it, O'Reilly, I get it.
Ah, how's me credit then, jubilant lad?
Same as it always is.
I see. Well, what have you got that a man with no money can afford?
Nothing.
In that case, I'll have a double and a word with your boss, if you please.
He's over there in the corner.
Think of the mistakes I've made.
Pardon me, sir.
Huh? Yeah, what do you want, O'Reilly?
Now, might I be having a word with you about my credit?
You don't have any.
So I've been told. And it is a sad state of affairs when a fine old Irish actor, such as myself, sinks to such depths of poverty. That's why I've come to ask for an advance, so to speak.
Cash on the barrelhead, O'Reilly. You know that.
Now, I wouldn't be asking if I didn't have some hope of paying you back. You see, I've had a bit of luck.
Yeah? What kind of luck?
Well, sir, I'd rather not say, times being what they are, and certain rascals being only too willing to jump a man's claim.
What are you worried about? You never done any prospecting? Or have you?
There, I've gone and said too much already.
Oh, my dear Terence, you can trust us. We're your friends.
You made a new strike now,
no,
ain't you?
No, not a new strike.
Well, what then?
More like an old one. You see, I was down around the Little Glory diggings, and I come across this, I don't know where'd I put it.
I thought the Little Glory mine was laid out a long time ago.
It was. There ain't nothing down there.
Ah, now, that's where you're wrong. And I'll prove it if I... here it is. Sure, and I'm no miner. But you tell me if that ain't gold.
That ain't gold.
What? Oh, go on with you. Of course it is.
It's fool's gold, you drunken old coot.
Oh. And aptly named in this case.
It's just a worthless piece of pyrite. I told you, the Little Glory's all played out, just like everything else in Dogtown.
Oh, I see. Well, does this mean you won't be giving me an advance on me credit?
Jubal, give the Irishman a drink. One drink. On the house.
Right, boss.
Ah, ain't you grand. Thank you kindly.
For a minute there, I thought we had our grubstake to Denver. Crazy old fool.
Yeah. I'm thinking. You know that O'Reilly's all alone, eh? He's just an old beat-up drunk. No friends, no relatives.
Yeah. So?
So, maybe he'll get us to Denver after all.
Abandoned by the gold prospectors and bypassed by the railroad, Dogtown, Colorado is rapidly fading into oblivion. A fate which saloon keeper Smiley Pete and undertaker Hiram Plotkin do not intend to share. Which is why they are at the office of Moses Sweeney, Western agent for the Cuskworthy Insurance Company.
The name of the insured?
Terrence.
Aloysius.
O'Reilly.
And Terrence.
Aloysius.
Aloysius.
O'Reilly.
O'Reilly. And the name of the beneficiary?
Yours truly.
Smiley Pete. Now, if you'll just forge sign O'Reilly's name and hand over the first installment.
Surely.
That's every last cent we've got.
Mm-hmm. Here you are. One life insurance policy for $800. The only thing that remains to be paid is my, shall we say, commission.
Shall we say bribe?
Call it what you like. The price is still the same. $100.
You'll get your money when we get ours.
That wasn't the deal. Just what kind of a business do you think I'm running here?
The same kind we run, Sweeney. Crooked.
You can afford to wait.
Well, it's the principle of the thing. If someone came to you and wanted a funeral for themselves, you'd make them pay before the funeral, not after.
He's got the point there, Pete.
After we kill the Irishman. And after you put in the claim, not before. And I'm sure it'll go through much faster if you got money coming too, Sweeney.
Well, I don't like it. It's
unethical.
Then why don't you write the trustworthy insurance company and tell them? And while you're at it, why don't you tell them about all that phony mine insurance you've been selling?
All right. I'll wait. But my commission just went up $50.
Are you sneaking? All right, it's a deal.
Good. Oh, I don't suppose either of you'd be interested in any railroad insurance?
Clear all the goods off them shelves and get them in them crates. And you there, boy, start loading them sacks of flour onto the wagon. Here, be careful with them bottles.
Hey, Crabtree, what's going on?
Well, what's it look like? I'm closing up the store, moving on to Denver. If your boss had any sense to you, he'd do likewise.
Well, I reckon we won't be too far behind. Smiley Pete says we're leaving just as soon as you get rid of...
Get rid of what?
Rats. We got rats back at the saloon.
Dirty little varmints. They can take over the whole blame town for all I care. Well, what you want to kill rats for if he's leaving?
Well, I don't know. He just sent me over to get some of what he's got written down on this here paper.
Yeah, let me see that. Yeah, I got some. There you go. But be careful. Don't take much of that stuff to kill a few puny rats.
Oh, well, I think the Mormon Pete's after is a mighty big one.
Jubal, did you get it?
Yeah, it was Crabtree's last bottle.
Excellent. Now, pay attention, Hiram. And you'll learn how to make the kickin'est whiskey O'Reilly's ever going to taste.
You mean the last whiskey he's ever going to taste.
And now, we've let one barrel of rainwater come to a boil like this, you see. And now we add the alcohol. And 3 plugs of tobacco for color. Then half a pound of red pepper to liven it up. Pour it in, Jubal. And then we put it... Where's the soap, Jubal?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Right here, boss.
5 bars of soap to give it body. Now we just let it all boil together, and pretty soon, we're going to have a batch of whiskey so strong it'll make your eyeballs bleed.
Remind me to do my drinking across the street from now on.
Hey, boss, what about the...
Jumpin' Jehoshaphat! A plum forgot. Give me the arsenic you got from Crabtree, Jubal. There. Yeah, that ought to do her. Hiram, if I was you... I'd find out what size coffin O'Reilly wears.
dear, did you hear? The news is going round. The Shamrock is forbid by law to grow on Irish ground. St. Patrick's Day no more will keep here. If there's any English pigs in here, step outside, and I'll whip the whole cowardly lot of you.
Hey, Terrence, the boss wants to see you.
Huh?
The boss, he wants to have a drink with you.
Oh, he does he? Well, never let it be said that Terrence Aloysius O'Reilly, who's never impolite to his host. Lead on, Jubal, my boy, lead on.
O'Reilly! Hey, where have you been? We've been waiting for you.
Yes, we've been waiting for you.
Oh, have you now?
Jubal, bring us another bottle.
Right, boss.
Why don't you just pull up a chair here and sit down?
Oh, how about a drink, huh?
Oh, well, I like that.
Oh, here you go, boss.
You just try a shot of this, old-timer.
Oh, thank you. But you aren't going to join me, then?
No, I've reached my limit.
Now, don't you worry yourself about us. You just go right ahead.
Oh, but I'd feel funny if my two friends didn't have a drink with me.
All right. Jubal, bring us two beers.
Two beers coming up.
Now, go ahead, Terrence. Have a drink.
Door in the hatch, then. Ah.
Well, how do you feel?
Grand. Just grand.
Here, have another.
Are you sure you aren't Irish?
Yes, I'm sure.
What was your name again?
Plotkin.
I knew a Pitkin once. From Belfast, he was. Might you be related, then?
Plotkin, not Pitkin.
He was a Protestant, I believe. Big, strapping broth of a lad.
Excuse
he
me.
He was his whole mother and grandfather until he went to sea. She was a kid.
He's almost finished the whole bottle. Why isn't he dead?
Why should I know why he isn't dead?
Well, do something.
Jubal, get the Irishman another bottle.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the arrows and misfortunes of our raging slings.
I thought he'd never go.
Well, you're the undertaker. Check and make sure that he's... Well?
I can still feel a pulse.
That darn stubborn Irishman.
Well, don't worry. He drank two bottles of whiskey laced with arsenic. It won't be long now.
Smiley Pete and Hiram Plotkin have purchased an insurance policy on the life of Terrence O'Reilly that conveniently names them as beneficiaries. Now, having pumped the Irishman full of whiskey, they wait anxiously for the poison to take effect.
Hiram, you better check O'Reilly again.
I just did.
We'll check him again.
He's still alive.
What do you mean he's still alive?
I mean he's still alive. Don't worry, it won't be long now.
You've been saying that for the last 5 hours. It's almost sunup.
Well, we'll just have to wait. In the meanwhile, why don't we have another drink?
Give me that. Who do you think you are, anyway, drinking up all my inventory?
Well, I just thought I'd...
Just
think...
look at you.
Oh, just look at me.
One more drink and you'll turn into a walking whiskey vat. Hell, O'Reilly's probably been dead the whole time, only you're too drunk to know it. I reckon I'll just have to check him myself. Well, he sure as hell feels dead. I don't hear no heartbeat, so he must... Jump into the house!
Oh, top of the morning to you.
I don't believe it.
You're still...
Don't tell me I've spent the whole night here in your saloon.
But this is impossible. He drank.
I know. I drank a wee bit too much, and I do apologize to the both of you. Thanks for the use of your floor. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll be on my way.
Hey, boss, it's so much time. What are you doing here?
Never mind. Oh, wait a minute, O'Reilly. How about a drink before you go?
Why, perhaps a wee one? Just to get me started.
Help yourself. Hiram, Jubal, I want to talk to you in the back. Don't go away, O'Reilly. I'll be right with you.
Take your time.
All right, Hiram, you're the undertaker. How come O'Reilly ain't one of your customers yet?
I don't know. Maybe you didn't use enough arsenic.
What will we do now?
If at first you don't succeed.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, O'Reilly, you must be getting kind of hungry.
Now that you mention it, I do feel kind of wolfish.
Well, I'll just get Jubal to rustle up some grub for you. Hey, Jubal, where are them fish you caught yesterday?
Oh, I left them hanging outside.
Well, go and get them, Kim. Now, where did I put the rest of that arsenic?
Golly, it's cold out there. Here's the fish.
Put them on the plate. Now, I'll just pour some of this arsenic over these fish. I'll let them soak a while.
Yeah, but boss, we won't be able to eat them if you do that.
Don't worry, Jubal. I think I know what he's got in mind, and it's a perfectly delicious idea.
Jubal, you and Hiram break this bottle in that barrel there. Then I want you to grind the pieces into little bits.
If you say so.
How you doing, old-timer?
Oh, just grand, Peter, my lad, just grand.
You like fish, don't you?
Oh, I do indeed.
Good, because Jubal is making you a fish sandwich.
Now, don't be going to no trouble on my account.
There's no trouble. How you doing?
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's... Now, I'll just cut open these fish. They should have soaked up that arsenic by now. And we'll just lay that ground-up glass inside. All right, Jubal. Serve Mr. O'Reilly his grub.
There you go, O'Reilly. A nice fish sandwich.
Ah, 'tis a lucky man I am to have friends like you.
Well, how do you feel? How's it taste?
Like me old mother used to make, Jubal Boyle. You've outdone yourself.
Did you hear that? He likes it.
Yeah, make sure you eat the whole thing, O'Reilly. Otherwise, Jubal will be downright insulted.
Look at him. He's eating the whole sandwich.
How can he do that? Oh, that glass would be ripping his guts open by now.
The man must have a stomach made of iron.
Yeah, but the arsenic.
Maybe it's all that whiskey he drinks. That's why the poison doesn't affect him. Either that or Crabtree sold you a bad batch of arsenic.
Why don't I just shoot him and get it over with, boss?
No. It's got to look natural. We don't want the insurance company getting suspicious. Or the sheriff.
You're right. Jubal, give him a double of what you give that prospector yesterday. It won't kill him, but at least it'll knock him out.
Right.
That was a fine meal, Jubal. Thank you.
How about a drink to wash it down?
Don't mind if I do.
Whiskey Drummer come through here the other day and left one of his samples. He wants the boss to switch brands. Try it and see what you think.
Glad to be of service. To Ireland. Not bad. If I were Pete, I'd...
Yes, sir, the old ways are the best ways. Give me a hand with him, Jubal. All right, is this far enough?
Oh, there.
Uh,
Ooh, it's cool. I think my hands are froze.
I wish it had stopped snowing.
Will you stop your belly aching and help me get the Irishman out of this wagon? Over here. That's good enough. Drop him. Now, Jubal, you strip O'Reilly down to his long johns. Hiram, you help me get these water buckets out of the wagon.
If I'd known killing O'Reilly was going to be this much trouble...
This ought to do the trick. All right. Now, just pour the water all over him. And maybe make sure he's good and wet, you know. Now, start packing that snow around him. That's enough. That's enough. Now, let's get out of here.
How long before he comes to?
A couple hours, I reckon.
And by the time he does, O'Reilly's gonna have one fatal case of pneumonia.
Thorn Green again, and here's the fourth act of our story.
Bakken!
Back here! Oh, hello, Sheriff.
I'm afraid I got some business for you. Judging from that coffin you're putting together, looks like you expected me.
Yes, I was.
What?
That is what I mean, is I have to be prepared in this profession. You never know when somebody's up and dropped dead, you know.
I reckon so. Well, anyways, I got one for you. He's out in the wagon.
Well, we'd better get him in here. He must be frozen solid by now.
No, body's still warm.
Oh, yes, of course.
I found him this morning, Chinese fella.
Sheriff, he's not Chinese, he's Irish.
Oh, really?
No, O'Reilly.
I thought his name was Ying.
It's O'Reilly.
Well, anyways, I got him out here in the wagon. He's all yours.
Well, it's not O'Reilly. That's a Chinaman.
He sure don't look Irish, does he?
Boss, you better come here, quick.
What's the matter?
Look who's coming in.
A top of the morning to you.
Him? Oh, no, not again. What are you doing here, Terrence?
Pete, the sheriff just brought... How did you get...
A good day to you, Mr. Plotkin. I beg your pardon. I seem to have caught a wee bit of a cold.
A cold?
Yes, that's why I stopped by. I was wondering if you could tell me what I did yesterday.
What you did?
After I left here, I'm afraid I had a bit too much to drink. I woke up wearing nothing but my long johns, and you'll never guess where I found myself.
Sure is dark down here. I don't mind telling you, a mine shaft makes me downright nervous. What do you want to come down in the little glory for, anyway?
Yeah, I got my reasons. You just take notice of how far that candle's burned down in that lantern, Jubal. What's the matter with you? Little old bat can't hurt you none.
I know. It just spooked me, that's all, blasted varmint.
Come on, it ain't much further. Hold it! There it is. Okay, blow out the candle and another lantern.
Done.
Watch it now. Don't get too close to the edge.
How far down do you reckon it is?
That's what I aim to find out. I'm going to drop a rock down this hole. Now, you keep quiet and listen for when it hits bottom. Here goes.
I don't hear nothing.
I know. That's the beauty of it. It's just what we need to get rid of O'Reilly. A bottomless hole. O'Reilly! Hey, O'Reilly!
Ah, tis you, Pete. What can I do for you?
I want to talk to you. You still got that piece of fool's gold you found near the Little Glory Mine?
Sure, I got it right here.
Let me see it. See, I've been thinking it over. Look.
What is it?
You see them little flecks there? That's silver.
What? Oh, go on with you. You mean to say...
Shh! Not so loud.
You mean to say you think there might be silver down in the Little Glory?
Could be. See, a prospector looking for gold might pass over silver and not even take notice.
Saints preserve us. If what you say is true... Oh, but I'm no miner, sure. I don't even know what to look for.
Don't worry. She will go down with you and see that you get what's coming to you. Well, watch your step.
You should have brought more lanterns.
Two is plenty.
Do you know where you're going?
To the end of the tunnel. If there's any silver down here, it'll be at the face. Right, Jubal?
Right, Oh!
You all right?
Yeah, my ankle. I think it's broke.
Well, let me see.
No, don't touch it.
Whoa. Can you walk?
No, it's broke, I'm sure of it.
Oh, poor lad. We'd best be getting it back.
All right. Here, O'Reilly. You take this lantern and go on down to the face. And Hiram and me will carry Jubal back to the entrance and catch up with you later.
No. I wouldn't want to get lost down here.
You won't get lost. Just go straight down till you come to a fork in the tunnel. Just keep to the right, and you'll reach the face.
But
there's no sense in us all going back. Besides, if there is any silver down there, I reckon you'll want to be the first to see it.
Well, all right. I'll meet you at the face, then.
Don't forget. Keep to the right.
Right.
How's your ankle, old Jubal?
Right as rain, boss.
That was a nice bit of acting you did there. Too bad O'Reilly isn't going to be around to appreciate it.
Did you fix his lantern like I told you?
Yeah, I measured his candle again, the one we took with us this morning. And then I cut the wick so it'll sputter out just before he reaches the bottomless hole.
You mean bottomless grave?
Yeah, O'Reilly's bottomless grave.
Oh, my brother Bill has a still on the hill where he fixes a gallon or two. Buzzards in the sky flight. Oh, here we are. Keep to the right, he says. Oh, I keeps to the right. What's this? Sure, ain't that a hell of a place to be put in a hole. Terence, me lad, you made a wrong turn. You'd best go back and try the left fork.
Do you think O'Reilly's got there yet?
Almost. His lantern should go out any time now. Yeah, we better go check. Jubal, you lead the way.
Hey!
What in tarnation did you put out the light for?
Well, my fault. It just went out by itself.
You knothead! You gave O'Reilly the wrong lantern.
Me? You're the one that gave it to him.
Well, do something. See if you can light it again.
Oh, I can't find it. It must have rolled away in the dark.
Will you just feel around for it?
I can't see a thing.
Ouch! Watch it!
You watch it.
What are we going to do? How are we going to get out of here?
Will you shut up and let me think? Hiram, where are you?
Here.
Grab hold of my belt. And Jubal, you grab onto Hiram's belt. Now, everybody touch the wall with your right hand.
I get it. All we have to do is walk slow and easy. Huh?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be out of here in no time.
I hope you're going the right way.
Don't worry.
Damn curtains!
What was that?
Just a bat!
No. Something else. It sounded like a rumble.
I don't hear nothing. Dude, what kind of a rumble?
Maybe it's Cayman.
Oh, Lord.
Faster, walk faster.
Oh! Get up! Get up!
I can't see where I am.
No, don't stop! We gotta keep going.
Wait, where is the entrance?
Will you just keep going? Will you just keep going?
Sure hate to see you closing up the road to ruin, Sheriff.
Well, I've got to. Now that Smiley Pete and Jubal are gone, and with Hiram gone, I reckon I'll have to close up funeral parlor, too.
Ah, the poor lads.
Terence Aloysius O'Reilly?
Sure, that's me.
Name's Moses Sweeney. I'm from the Trustworthy Insurance Company. I'm here to make payment on the life insurance policy.
Life insurance? I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I don't reckon he'd have told you. The fact is, Smiley Pete took out a policy insuring you for $800 and naming himself beneficiary.
He did he? Now, wasn't that nice of him?
Yes, but there was also a reverse beneficiary clause in the policy, and now, since Pete is... Well, the $800 goes to you.
Saints preserve us! $800.
Minus my commission of $150. Now, if you'll just sign this receipt, I can make payment right now.
I'll be glad to.
And thank you. And here's your draft for $650.
Oh, bless you.
Good day.
Oh, that Peter. What a grand friend he was. Sheriff, now that you've closed up the saloon, might I ask what you'll be doing with all of Pete's inventory?
You mean the whiskey? Well, I reckon it'll all be sold off. Why?
Well, I've had a bit of luck, you see, and I was thinking of heading for Denver. Maybe opening up a saloon of my own.
Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, O'Reilly? No, O'Reilly, was written by Steve Sherriff and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lorne Green. Our stars were Tyler McVeigh, Dawes Butler, and Marvin Miller. Featured in the cast were Don Diamond, Barney Phillips, and Howard Culver. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Andy Griffin. Join us tomorrow at this same time. I've got another story I think you'll find riotously amusing.